Hey, Browns fans, before we get started, just want to thank the sponsors of today's show. Head to omahasteaks.com/dogs, D-A-W-G-S, right now and use promo code DOGS when you check out. Take advantage of the 50% off site-wide sale, plus you'll get 8 free burgers with your order. And again, use that code DOGS when you check out to get $30 off your order. And Danger Coffee. Get 10% off at dangercoffee.com/dogs. Use promo code DOGS. 10% off mold-free, toxin-free, delicious coffee. The last skill position the Browns need to definitely be looking at in the draft is going to be running backs. And I've only got two guys on my list. And the main one, I think, that you interviewed Ray Davis, correct, from Kentucky?
Yeah, from Kentucky, yeah.
Okay, can we talk about him real quick?
Yeah, short guy, but he had the build of Barry Sanders and Emmitt Smith were short guys. LaDainian Tomlinson were short guys.
5'8", 220, is that about right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's my height, but 70 pounds more than me. That's crazy.
Yeah. He's got very good hands, and he's got a powerful running style, and I have seen tape on him before. I was doing an interview with him, or when I was transcribing my interview, I just went to YouTube, and he breaks a lot of tackles. He gains a lot of yards after contact. People just bounce right off of it. He's got a low center of gravity, and he's got some good moves, but he will also take a lick. And I think what impressed me the most was that when he would come to the line, he had good vision to see, and the patience, and identify which rushing lane would open up for him. But he's great pass catcher, and more importantly, this guy is a stud in blocking.
Ah, nice. Okay.
Absolutely, he would just take on anybody, and usually that's a safety or a linebacker, sometimes a cornerback, but he would take on anybody. But I think he'll be fifth round, fourth round. And my opinion of the Browns running back room, you know, they bring John Kelly up and down. Jerome Ford, either you love him or you hate him. Some people just can't stand him. Some people like the way he is. I think Pierre Strong would be a better running back if they'd given the ball more.
We were talked about but that all year.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a good back. Jerome Ford, good kickoff return man.
Mm-hmm. Jerome Ford's a hell of a receiving back. You get him in space, you get him in space, and he's a dangerous threat. The problem that we always say on the show is getting him into space and the thing is, I do love Jerome Ford. I do. I was excited to get him coming out of Cincinnati. He's just frustrating as all hell to me because it's lateral, lateral, lateral. And I understand the running scheme in the Kevin Stefanski offense and waiting, being more patient, waiting for lanes to open up, but he does not see them very often. When he does, the dude can hit a home run, but it's just, it's very rare. It's more times than not, you're getting 1 to 2 yards of carry. You're getting stuffed at the line or behind the line with Jerome Ford. And, you know, what you just described about Ray Davis seems like a guy that can kind of do those things, but he can hit the hole when it's there.
Yeah, I think Ray Davis is a classic example of a plug and play back in this draft class.
Man, that's what we need too.
Mm-hmm. His key strengths are hitting a hole and knowing where to hit the hole. But he's got home run speed. He absolutely does. He's got home run speed, and he's proven the ability in college that he can find the end zone.
Do you know how many touchdowns in college he had? Do you have that number?
Okay. I don't. It was dealt this year.
So I was just going to do a quick shout out to Andrew Jackson, Dog Pack member in the Patreon, because Kentucky is his college football team. So we're going to be hearing about Ray Davis as soon as he watches this. He'll be in the Discord talking about it. So we will learn a whole lot more about Ray Davis after this show, because I'm sure Andrew has some input. So I'm very interested in this kid for sure.
And Ray Davis was very well spoken. He was yes sir, no sir. Really nice guy. And after it was over with, two or three of the reporters would say, "All right, Ray, well, good luck to you. All right, Ray, I'll see you later." And, you know, he said, "All right, fellas, and that's the kind of guy he was. It looked like he was somebody, you know, came over to borrow your weed whacker or something.
Well, that kind of fits in with the Cleveland Browns culture, I feel like, where everybody's just, they're good, you know, they're just good people, good teammates,
right.
And, you know, just overall good to be around. So, yeah, Ray Davis, definitely interesting. Now, the only hang-up I have with him that I looked at was he's 24 years old already.
He is 24, and somebody asked about that. I didn't ask, and I used that question because that's something you can do when you interview is when you ask questions, I can use your question, I can use your answers if I need to mm-hmm. or if I want to. And somebody had asked that, and he said, well, I'm experienced, and, you know, it's not like I'm 34.
Well, that's a good mentality. Yeah. Now, again, you know, disclaimer, I'm not saying that 24 years old is old, but it is old to be a prospect coming out of college as a rookie into the NFL, especially at the running back position, because the shelf life is so short.
What was Brandon Weeden, 28?
Yeah, 28 or something crazy like that. Yeah.
So that could mean, but, you know, 24 is nothing. 24 is absolutely nothing. That's still finding yourself.
No, especially if you're drafting a running back later in the draft to be a one contract kind of guy, because by the end of his contract, he's 28. You're probably not going to re-sign him. And right. it more sucks for the running back himself, because your opportunity in the NFL is going to be extremely limited. You're not going to get a big second contract at 28, 29 years old. It's just probably not going to happen unless you are, you know, the exception to the rule, which there are very few of those.
Is Chubb a cut candidate?
Okay, well, do you want my cut candidate list?
Yeah.
I really only have two guys based on the numbers that are candidates to be cut, and it's Jordan Akins can be cut to save $2 million, and Nick Chubb can be cut to save $11.8 million.
That's a big $11.8 million. I think he's good. I mean, if he, in order to keep him, they got to restructure him.
For sure, absolutely.
So, and I know it's like semantics and just terminology, but you can't restructure Nick Chubb because of the way his deal, there's no money to move around into bonus or whatever, but they could extend him. So that's kind of where the thing with Nick Chubb comes in. You could extend him, and then essentially, like we talked about, he would be taking a pay cut for this year.
I mean,
but I don't even know if he's going to be, is he going to be ready week one?
No.
If he starts on PUP, is that 6 weeks? Does he come back on a snap count? At what point is he 100% back?
So do it
mid-season?
Or is it even this year at all?
I don't think he'll miss the whole year.
No, I'm saying 100%.
He got hurt week two.
Yeah, I mean.
But if they're saying, though, I mean, if he starts on PUP, I'm just thinking timeline-wise, if he's on a snap count, if he's...
I guess we need to figure out where he's at in terms of like when he's going to be back. Because, right. I mean, there's people coming back from ACLs and... I mean, Cam Akers came back like 8 months later.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? So do it, like if we're saying mid-season, we think it's going to take Nick Chubb 16 months?
I don't
know. We're going to think it's going to take him twice as long as Cam Akers?
We'll see if the chat knows any recent updates.
But. I know. I listen to a lot of Browns Daily, and what's his name? Nate was saying he thinks not week one. He'd be shocked if he's ready week one.
The thing to remember too is, I mean, guys do tear their ACLs and make a recovery, but it usually they're not 100% themselves. Like we saw Breece Hall this year, and he's 22 years old. It took him till the end of the season to really get back to his full strength. And the thing with Chubb is, when it happened, we all thought it was season ending, career ending. That's what I meant. Like it was a much more devastating injury than some of these other guys. And if anybody can bounce back, we've said it's Nick Chubb. But
This is my thought on it. I can't see Nick Chubb like pounding the table and saying that he wants top dollar running back money. I think that he's deserving of it. I mean, what he's done in Cleveland has been nothing but spectacular. He's one of my favorite Browns player, if not my favorite Browns player of all time.
Yeah.
But to me, there's got to be some restructuring. And if that means take a risk on him down the road and you're extending him, I say you take that chance, because if anybody overcomes an injury like that, it is Nick Chubb. But I don't think that you can pay him. What's he going to get paid this year?
11, right?
Isn't that the cap hit?
I thought he was 16. His cap hit is 15.8, almost 16, 15.8. Yeah,
bro, I don't think you can pay him $15.8 million. Just go, hey, we'll see you when you get back healthy.
We'll see you when we see you. Yeah.
It's a tough situation, because like the Browns are trying to, you want to take care of your guys.
For sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And everybody wants to take care of Nick Chubb because of what he means to the team and to the city and the organization. But
It's a business also.
Yeah, and know? Like it's, I don't know, it's a super, I don't envy Andrew Berry and Stefanski and these guys to make this decision, because it's also at a position that is widely known as like not the, you don't pay for this position.
Correct, right. Not valued as,
you know. And this is why the Browns made the contract the way they did, to be in this position where they hold the leverage at this point in his career, where it's like, you know, if we need to move on, we can. We have that option. And you heard Barry in the press conference. He said, you know, we're going to do everything we can to work with Nick Chubb. But it did sound like there's going to have to be some compromising here, or else.
Can you imagine? I can't imagine, though, the shit storm in Cleveland if Nick Chubb is not a Cleveland Brown.
Yeah.
And then, like, Deshaun doesn't play well or gets hurt again. And people are going to be like, we had to cut Nick Chubb. We had to cut everybody's favorite player because this guy's making X amount of dollars and he's hurt again, or he sucks, or you know what I mean? Like, if we cut Nick Chubb, Deshaun, that's even more pressure on Deshaun. Because if we cut Nick Chubb and Deshaun isn't like a top five quarterback, it's going to be insufferable in Cleveland. Like, he's not going to be able to show his face. It's going to be bad. So if he's got to hope Nick Chubb's willing to play ball a little bit, or he's got to really hope that he turns back the clock and it's 2020 Deshaun, because if not, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be super ugly.
With that being said, I mean, my gut says they'll work out a mini extension where he takes a pay cut. He's not near the cap hit he is, you know, projected to be. So I think he'll be here. But you never know. You never know how these things are going to go. Like, I think you said at one point on a previous episode, Blake, I mean, is he going to turn down guaranteed money to?
I think I said that on the after hours.
Like, okay. That's what
I think is me as an, I guess I've never been a pro athlete. Some might guess competitive eater, but, but I'm not. But if my job came to me and, you know, and I worked on like a contract basis, and I'm doing my work or whatever, and something happened, and they were like, hey, we want you to keep doing this work, but for less money. I would say, no.
Even though and you just got really, like, really hurt doing this job.
Yeah, especially if I was like, this is my last, I'm not going to make lots of money after this. This is my last job. So, no, I'm going to need all that money. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know Nick Chubb. I don't know what endorsements and stuff he has, because, I mean, he's super... It's quiet. I would imagine
he does a lot.
I don't think, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know how much money he's got off the field. I mean,
we had to promote his cereal.
Yeah. So, you know, like some of these guys, the on the field money doesn't matter. They make more off the field than they do on the field, mm-hmm. you know, for a lot of the, like, these main guys. Mm-hmm. But so, like, to me, if I'm Nick Chubb, I'm like, no, I'm not giving you, my money back. Mm-hmm. I need that money.
Right.
You know what I mean? And we can sit here and say, don't be selfish. Do what you can for the, none of you guys would just voluntarily give up $10 million either.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's trying to not work for the rest of his life.
Well, and solidify his family's
The legacy.
Generations
of his family. It's such a touchy, I guess if you're a Cleveland fan, you have to hope he's like, he's not me. You know, and he likes, you know, I don't hate my job actually, but like if he likes his job in Cleveland more than I like my company, because I tell my company, you can afford it, you're gonna give me all my money. Mm.
I think it goes to his plans as a player though. Like, what does he want out of the rest of his career after this recovery? How does he feel like he can play another 5 years in the league? If he does, you know, maybe he does take a pay cut for this year to do an extension, but to get money for more years, you know what I mean?
Who were some of these restructure / cut candidates?
Yeah, so we'll dive into the contract conversation now. And I mean, so the Browns right now going into the offseason, we are $19.6 million under the cap. Over the cap, sorry.
Oh boy.
So we are $19.6, almost $20 million in the hole. But by the time, if they do a bunch of these things, they could potentially free up and be at like 68 or more in available space. So number one, so these are the candidates that could be restructured and how much that they can free up according to overthecap.com. Deshaun Watson can be restructured, frees up $33.6 million. Amari Cooper can be restructured, frees up $12.5 million. Denzel Ward can be restructured, frees up $10.6 million. Jed Wills can be restructured, frees up $9.7 million. Joel Bitonio can be restructured, he's 4.3, and Wyatt Teller could be restructured for a savings of 3.4.
I wish I was really good at math.
And I'm sure there's some other guys too that are a little bit lower than that, that they might just rework just to free up. You know how you'll get the news that says, yeah, hey, they restructured these three guys, saved up, you know, freed up an extra $3 million or something.
Mm-hmm. So. I wouldn't, like Wyatt Teller, was he a cut candidate?
He's not a cut candidate, but he's a trade candidate.
A trade candidate?
Let me see, because I like over the cap because it lets you play out all the different scenarios. So let me just see here. Wyatt Teller, if we cut him before June 1st, we cannot cut him. We would lose way too much money.
Okay.
So if we cut him after June 1st, we can free up 6.4. And if we trade, we can't trade him before, we could trade. So 6.4, cut or trade after June 1st.
Okay.
We could free up 6.4. Or we could restructure, like I said, and it's whatever.
Three. So really, only if you restructured, cost you $3 million. I just restructure and keep him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not my $3 million, but that's what I would do.
This episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Browns fans, you know my household runs on Omaha Steaks, and that's why I'm so excited that 50% off site-wide is back. That's right. It's Omaha Steaks President's Day sale, and right now, listeners of this show can go to omahasteaks.com/dogs, D-A-W-G-S, use promo code DOGS when you check out, and get 8 free burgers with your order. With the price of food and meat nowadays being sky high, these are my favorite sales of the year because nothing can beat 50% off all the juicy, tender steaks, burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, etc. Plus, grab a package with the caramel apple tartlets for dessert. I never order anything from Omaha Steaks without getting those caramel apple tartlets. Take advantage of this sale right now before it's over. That's 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/dogs. Use promo code DOGS and get 8 free burgers with your order. Hey, Ohio, if you haven't downloaded the BetMGM app yet, you'll definitely want to take advantage of this limited time offer. New users who sign up through our link must deposit $10 and place a first wager of $5 on any live bet. Once your bet is placed, you will instantly receive $150 in bonus bets. You will get 3 bonus bet tokens of $50, allowing you to make multiple wagers with your bonuses. This offer is only available if you sign up through our link, which you can find in the description below, or scan the QR code on your screen to start signing up. This offer is only available for new customers who are 21 and older and physically present in Ohio. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Check the episode description for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify. So now let's dive in to the defensive tackle position, and we are going to kick things off with our guy, Dalvin Tomlinson, 6'3", 325 pounds, born in McDonough, Georgia. He actually won 3 state titles in wrestling. Kind of a cool stat about him. Big dude. I could see it. I would hate to have to go up and wrestle freaking Dalvin Tomlinson. He played his college football at Alabama. He was a second round pick, number 55 overall in 2017 by the New York Giants. This in 2023 was his 7th season in the league. He will turn 30 years old on February 28th. So probably right around the time you guys are watching this, I'm guessing. He missed, I put in here February 28th. So he just missed the leap year. And his birthday, like I said, is either coming up or it's already passed. So either way, happy big 30th birthday to Dalvin Tomlinson. So moving over to the stats, Dalvin Tomlinson on the season had just 3 missed tackles. He had 28 total tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, which is the second most of his career. So that's cool. And that's pretty much it for those basic counting stats. So let's move over here to the okay, that's right. I wanted to talk about the advanced metrics again from ESPN. So I did this with Myles Garrett because all I could really find were the top 10 in each of these categories for ESPN. I haven't found like their entire listing yet, but when I do, I will talk about it. But they have, like I talked about with Garrett, they have a run stop win rate. So I didn't really explain this last time, but I'll explain it here. A run stop win rate, according to ESPN, how they track this, is a defender can earn a win by doing any of the following: beating his blocker so he's in a better position to stop the runner, disrupting the pocket or running lane by pushing his blocker backward, containing the runner such that he must adjust his running lane, or recording a tackle within 3 yards of the line of scrimmage. If a defender earns a run stop win, his blocker earns a loss, and vice versa. So in terms of interior defensive linemen, defensive tackles, Dalvin Tomlinson was ranked number two in the NFL, according to ESPN, with 43% run stop win rate. He had 86 wins on 198 plays, and he had a 39% win rate against double teams. So just like Myles Garrett, what did I tell you guys? He was number two in pass rush win rate. He was number seven in run stop win rate for defensive ends. And then we've got Dalvin Tomlinson on that D-line, who's number two defensive tackle in run stop win rate. So awesome, awesome stuff for Dalvin Tomlinson. And also what's interesting here, actually Jordan Elliott was number six in this category with a 40% run stop win rate, 72 wins on 181 plays. His double team rate was actually even higher than Dalvin's at 45%. So the Browns actually had two defensive tackles in the top 10 of run stop wins. So we'll get to Jordan Elliott here in a little bit, but he was kind of a surprising dude this year. But back to Dalvin Tomlinson, move over to PFF, minimum of 250 snaps. That was 128 qualifying defensive tackles. He had a 63.3 defense grade. That was 49th overall. 73.2 pass rush. That was 30th overall. 36 total pressures. That was tied for 31st. 23 hurries. His PFF pass rush win rate was 9.7%. 38th overall. He had a 52.1 run defense grade and 11 stops on the season. Dalvin Tomlinson, in terms of his contract, signed a four-year, $57 million deal with the Browns in 2023. His 2024 cap hit is just $6.5 million. His dead cap is $22.2 million. So the Browns are locked into Dalvin Tomlinson. He is going to be the anchor of the interior D-line for 2024. So go ahead and lock him into the lineup with Myles Garrett, Oboe, Alex Wright, the guys we talked about in the last episode. And in terms of guys who played a lot of snaps for the Browns at defensive tackle in 2023, that's it. Dalvin Tomlinson, that's your guy. That's your guy under contract for 2024. And everybody else is either a free agent or they are Siaki Ika. That's really it. Siaki Ika is the only other guy on the roster at the defensive tackle position. If you guys are watching this on YouTube after the live and this clip that I'm about to play from Get Up is not on here, it's because YouTube made us take it out because of copyright. YouTube's kind of stupid. I hate YouTube. But anyway, here we go.
I'm trading Deshaun Watson and a second round pick to the New York Giants for Daniel Jones. And hear me out. If you're the Cleveland Browns, you have Dorian Thompson-Robinson, you have Joe Flacco, and now a 27-year-old Daniel Jones who has 1 year left of guaranteed money for $36 million and an enormous amount of flexibility moving forward. And if you're the Giants, you're getting Deshaun Watson, who's 29.
Are you?
Who's making $46 million a year for the next 3 years and a second round pick. And to me, you need a frontline difference making quarterback. Because Bart, right now, if you're the Giants, how in the world do you win the NFC when you have to beat San Francisco, Green Bay, Dallas, Philly, and Detroit?
With Daniel Jones, right.
Yeah, with Daniel Jones. So to me, Deshaun Watson hasn't played well the last couple of years, but he has a high upside, and he's only 29 years old.
So.
Who says no?
All right, hang on. Okay. Before you guys even go, you guys want to, let me say something here.
Okay.
148 and 156. What do you think that is?
A 148 and a 156?
Yeah, what do you think those two numbers represent? That's Mike Tannenbaum's career as a GM.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So maybe this guy doesn't give advice.
Okay.
He's not a good trader.
Yeah, on personnel decisions for good football teams, because that was maybe the dumbest thing. The Giants should trade for Deshaun because he's such a difference maker and they have to win right now. But we have to also give up the second round pick.
Right.
Because he's so bad, that's the only way we can get rid of him?
Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah.
that was literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
And then it frees up all this money, but it doesn't really free up hardly any money because they damn near make almost the same amount.
Per year.
Right.
And then the thing that also is crazy about it, because I really like thought this through and I was like, just tried to like listen to his take on it. And he's like, man, the NFC is so tough. Green Bay, San Francisco. And I'm like, what about the AFC? What about the killers in the AFC? You got the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes.
That's
you got
a good
Buffalo,
point, man.
Josh Allen. Look at our division.
Yeah.
You think Daniel Jones can stay upright against Baltimore, against Pittsburgh? It's just crazy.
Well, and you started off saying something stupid where he's like, they have Dorian Thompson Robinson.
They have Joe Flacco.
First of all, we do not have Joe Flacco.
No.
He is not under contract, you dipshit. And second of all, did you watch DTR this year? I'm sorry. That's not an argument in favor of getting Daniel Jones on the roster. Are you kidding me? Daniel Jones is terrible.
Daniel Jones can be successful in the East against Washington. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, obviously, Philly and Dallas are okay. But, I mean, do we not think the AFC North is a better division than the AFC East?
His whole point that we could get out of Daniel Jones' contract after 1 year? Because it just makes no sense.
And he made it sound like the Browns aren't trying to win right now.
Like, hey, bro, we're in, like, this is it.
This is our window.
We are trying to win. The time is now.
Yeah.
You know, Daniel Jones makes $40 million a year.
Right.
That is just $40 million too much.
$40 million a year. So people will say Deshaun Watson has the worst contract in sports.
You know what? Another thing, too.
Daniel Jones makes $40 million a year.
I could be way off on this. And this is just my personal opinion. Daniel Jones is like a little athletic and like can do some things. Daniel Jones kind of reminds me of a former quarterback that we had where everything had to be pretty damn good. You know what I mean? Like, and even then he's had one kind of pretty okay year. It's not like
he just got lucky and had it in the contract year.
Yes.
Right.
And
I'm in a bad spot.
And I know you're talking about Baker, but
you don't know that I'm talking about Baker.
I take Baker Mayfield over Daniel Jones any day.
For sure.
I mean, at least I feel like there are times when Baker can put it all together and go out there and win a ball game here and there, but not Daniel Jones.
People will crap on the Browns and say that they screwed Baker. They made the hard decision that the Giants didn't make.
Right.
And
yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it was very similar.
Yep.
And the Browns made the tough decision, which is when you want your people in charge to be able to do. You want them to be like, I know this is going to give us some heat, but I can take that heat because this is what I think is best for the team. And they moved on from Baker. And whether they were going to move on from whether Deshaun Watson was on the table or not, they were saying all this stuff in public. He was not coming back. Okay. They were moving on. And because they knew he wasn't worth $40 million a year. And the Giants didn't do that, and now they are up shit creek. Yep.
Yes. That is a great point because they were in the same situation as the Browns, and they copped out and said, we'll just pay this guy because we're too cheap to go out and get a better guy. We don't know what to do. We have a shitty management. I don't know what their situation was.
Paid him instead of Saquon.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, it goes back to you don't pay your running backs. But Daniel Jones, really? $40 million a year? Yeah, I love that. Deshaun Watson is not the worst contract in his sport.
Correct. you said something dumb if Aaron Goldhamer is pushing back on
right.
you. Okay. I saw him, they had Tannebaum on and he was like, the Giants are trying to win right now. And he was like, we're trying to win right now. Like we have a better roster than the Giants do. We are in win now mode. And Tannebaum just fumbling over himself. And I'm like, if Goldhamer is telling you you're dumb, You went off the rail, stupid, because Goldhammer is like, that dude ate literal horse shit on yes, you know what I mean? Did. So if that guy is telling you said something stupid, you know you messed up.
Well, and then, he says it on ESPN, something stupid, and then he doubles down on it. It's like, at some point, you just got to step back and say, man, I really shouldn't have said that.
They have production meetings. Whenever he came up with this in the production meetings, it get up, you'd have to think like, so everybody was like, what the fuck did this guy just say?
Yeah. Like it's about clicks, bro.
And that's what leads me to like, does anybody even watch ESPN in this stuff? Like get up,
do we take this stuff serious anymore?
Oh, it's not serious anymore though. Yeah. It's not a serious industry.
So there was a time in my life, especially like when I was younger and single and lived by myself and nobody else was, I would watch SportsCenter. Mm-hmm. And then I would watch same SportsCenter.
Yeah.
And then I would watch the exact same. It was just on my TV and I just watched it.
I did that as a kid.
Over and over again. Yeah. And I'd be honest, outside of a football game on Monday night or something, I don't remember the last time I turned on ESPN. Mm. Even during football season. And I know like the guy gets on my nerves. I watched the Herd a million times before I would turn on ESPN. Because Colin might annoy the crap out of me, but at least it's sports.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I like Dan Orlovsky. I still don't watch it. Ryan Clark he's about 50-50. It's bad. Yes, I don't remember the last time I watched it. And at one point, it was the only thing I watched. Back like the golden age when they had the This Is Sports Center commercials, yep. And it had the ticker on the side.
Yeah.
So you knew what was coming up next. And the top 10 was coming up. And I'd just be watching just to get to the top 10. Not anymore, man.
Nope.
Not anymore. Anymore.
What about Pat? You ever watch Pat? It's
kind of fun. I watch like more clips of Pat than I actually just sit down and watch his show. I tell you, I think what really started like the downward trend for ESPN was when they went to both coasts. But they had all their talent in one building. I used to watch Stan and Neil at night.
Yeah.
And then they went out West Coast and they didn't start coming on till, you know, I was already going to bed. And those were the funniest guys. They got rid of, you know, I don't think Kenny Mayne's there anymore. Mm-hmm. Maybe he is. I can't remember. But if he is, he's not there very often.
Couldn't tell you.
They lost all the talent. You know what I mean? And it's.
One thing
it's not even watchable.
My biggest takeaway from like ESPN and a lot of these sports shows anymore is I don't feel the sincerity. Like there's nothing genuine about it. It's all, I feel like it's scripted. They just bring up random bullshit just for argument's sake. And it's like,
No, that's fair. I mean, that's what sells.
There's no way. Did Tannenbaum really think this is a good trade idea? I mean, seriously,
maybe
did. Okay. But then somebody thought that it was worth letting him say,
yeah,
come on. Really?
I mean, they had it at the bottom and everything. They were ready for it.
I don't want to like
it was coming.
Get into too much about the world or whatever thing, but what's killing sports, we'll keep it this, the 24-hour news cycle and social media. They have to just say stupid stuff to try to get you to watch so they can clip it because it's the only way to stay relevant.
Yeah.
And you have to have something to talk about 24/7. You know, it's not, it doesn't just stop at one point. They have to have stuff to talk about 1 a.m, 2 a.m, 3 a.m. I just hate like reactionary media anymore. Like this person has a bad game and then for the whole next week is like, is his career over or he has a good game? Is he an MVP? Like, can we just watch a football season? And I know like we do a weekly podcast and we talk about stuff on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, but that's why all throughout the season, I was like, guys, let's relax. Let's like watch maybe the next couple games before we decide if we're good or not.
Think about Browns fans.
You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, literally 8 weeks ago, there were still Browns fans talking about Kevin Stefanski needed to be fired. I mean, that's a real thing that we heard daily.
I still hear it multiple times.
I believe it. I believe, which is wild to me.
I know.
It's everything is 100% go or like nothing. And it just, it drives me nuts. And that's all ESPN is anymore. And like you got Ryan Clark going on there saying the hardest thing I had to do all year was pretend like Brock Purdy was an MVP candidate, but there's 1,000 clips and you weren't pretending. And then even afterwards, he'll say something like, oh, Brock Purdy showed me what he could do. And like, bro, you 10 minutes ago, you said you were pretending. So what? So now should I not believe anything you ever say? Because you were pretending because the producer in your ear told you to act like you thought he was good. So it's not even your own opinion. If I want your own opinion, I got to go watch your podcast.
Right.
You know, so it's just like, why listen to anything any of them say?
I will say that is one thing that I really enjoy about, and this is off Brown's topics and stuff. I just podcasting in general. I love that we're an independent podcast. We're beholden to nobody.
No.
We say what we want to say, what we believe and.
Until we get kicked off of YouTube.
And then it doesn't matter. You can't kick us off of Spotify. You can't kick us. I mean, we'll always be somewhere.
At your mom's house.
With these I moved out of there. What are you talking about?
So now, quite arguably the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
There's a reason that dude, I saw something. This is what made me chuckle when I was looking up, hit some of his stats. Here we go. His time with the Miami Dolphins, after acting as consultant for the team during the he became the vice president of football operations starting February 1st, 2015, after acting as a consultant for the team during the 2014 NFL season. On December 31st, 2018, he was reassigned from his duties without a defined purpose. So his last time like in charge of a team or whatever, they were just like, hey man, you just like, can you go do something? Like, we'll keep paying you, just what? Just like, go hide somewhere.
Find something to do.
Yeah. Like, could you grab a broom? You know, like, you're not, you don't get to make any decisions.
Get to the bottom of this for us.
Yeah. Like, hey, yeah, I heard somebody said something. Can you go, just go away? Mm. That's essentially what happened to him. And then all of a sudden he pops up on, this is a guy who's considered an expert.
Right. And that's why these shows are failing and nobody cares anymore, because,
hey, we all have the internet. It took me 5 seconds to realize that Mike Tannenbaum fucking sucks at his job. You know,
right. Fair. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, right. I can find that out very quickly. So why would I listen to this guy?
Mm-hmm. Now, especially when this is the stuff he says.
Yes. If he wanted to talk numbers, okay, because I'm not going to do that. But to just like sit here and talk about these player personnel decisions you would make, when I can just jump on Google and be like, oh, you got told to just go hang out in a broom closet at the end of your tenure. You're under 500 for your career. Okay, so maybe I shouldn't take you that serious.
Right.
Yep.
So yeah, I was gonna do like my first solo outing talking about this, but I knew we were gonna talk about it on the show.
Okay. When are you starting that, by the way? I guess, are we announcing it to everybody right now?
I don't want to make any commitments. I finally got my new home set up. I got the recording program set up. I actually put it out in the Discord today, what they wanted me to talk about. So I'm going to hopefully start dropping some stuff. Is it weird if I call it solo content? Does that make it sound, erotic?
Blake's takes, man. Blake's takes. It's not behind a paywall yet, so just keep your socks on.
Mm-hmm. Or don't, bro.
I can't make any promises.
I kind of figured.
It'll just be like me, like pushing my fingers between my big toe and my...
Jesus.
Ugh. I just broke the internet. People are going to be lining up.
Our first 1 million view video on YouTube.
Yeah.
Look at those disgusting ass feet.
Those look like the feet of a guy who doesn't walk too much, but when he does, it hurts because he's heavy. It hurts
his knees.
This episode is brought to you by Manly Bands. Browns fans, I have an exciting new sponsorship partner for you guys, and it is crazy how it all happened, okay? So I'm getting married soon. I went to pick out my wedding band. I did not know that the cost of gold was the highest it's ever been. So, you know, when the rings I liked and they pulled out of the case and showed me, and I turned it over, saw the price tag, and they were $1,600. Yeah, I essentially crapped my pants and ran out of there. I hate jewelry stores. I hate the salespeople. I hate the selection. We went, and again, true story here, 7 different stores looking for a ring, and all of them had the most pathetic selection imaginable for men. So I said, screw it. I went to manlybands.com, and everything after that point was an incredible experience. Their selection is huge. All sorts of styles, materials. Guys, they have wedding bands made from Jack Daniel's whiskey barrels, meteorites, and even dinosaur bones. They also have a huge selection of the tungsten rings that everybody likes, cobalt, chrome, and gold. And the best part was the customer service was some of the best I've ever received. In a world of AI and bots, Manly Bands keeps it real with real freaking people. The whole experience was so awesome, I asked if we could advertise for them on the show, and here we are. Screw those jewelry stores and those salespeople. Manlybands.com, use promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, for a whopping 25% off your order. Whether you've already got a band or you're getting married in the future, check out what they have. Also, you can order a free ring size guide and they'll ship it straight to you, so you know exactly what size ring you need. And again, never step foot in a jewelry store. And also for you big fellows with the big hands, guys, they got rings up to size 20. Rings come with free engraving in the U.S., and they send you a free silicone band with your order. It's unreal. These guys are the best. Manlybands.com, promo code DAWGS for 25% off your order. So then linebackers, we can start honestly wherever you want, but I highlighted J.D. Bertrand out of Notre Dame because you interviewed him and you seemed pretty high on him. Your quote that I pulled out of your article here that I thought stood out to me said, you just said he's going to make somebody very happy in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I'd like to hear about
him. Great guy and extremely positive. He will tell you that he's going to light up the NFL. That is his attitude. Yeah. That's his attitude about it. Not a lot of sacks in his career, but the dude is nothing but a tackler. He led Notre Dame in tackling his senior and junior year.
That's impressive.
He's a tackling machine. He's only 235, somewhere like that. He's good at blitzing, I can tell. And he's got the flexibility to get around the edge, but he is a three-down linebacker. You're not going to have to bring him in on third downs or take him off on third downs. He is sideline to sideline. He's a playmaker. He's got extreme quickness off the edge. And I would say that he's able to recognize when it's a running play right off and then make a decision about which gap to try to shoot through. But he looks the part of a middle linebacker. You know, what's happening with the Browns now? Anthony Walker, is he going to come back? Jacob Phillips is our other middle linebacker. He's been hurt 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. The other middle linebacker is Taki Taki. Taki Taki, to me, works better at the will. If you put somebody at the mic and put Taki Taki with his speed and get him out as the will, and then put JOK into the Sam linebacker, that makes a good combination. Bertrand can go right into that middle linebacker, and he looks like a middle linebacker.
That's what we
need. He's got good height, this thick, muscular build. He's got long arms, and when on the field, I just saw him. He had straight line speed. The only thing I saw about Bertrand is sometimes he is so aggressive, sometimes he would overrun plays.
Okay. Well, you know, and honestly, I feel like that sort of thing can be corrected by a good coach, Jim Schwartz, you know, the guys that the Browns have in there. I'd rather a linebacker, defensive player be aggressive and flying to the ball, because I think settling down, getting in position to make the tackle can be taught. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so.
But I think especially the instincts of getting to the ball.
So
where do you see Bertrand going in the draft is the question I'm a little nervous to ask you.
I'm going to say he'll probably go in the third round. He may go as far as the fourth, though.
Really?
I have him as a third round grade, but he did himself a lot of good at the Senior Bowl. I don't know if he was able to get himself up any higher than that, but he definitely didn't make himself go lower than that. The linebacker for the Bengals, his name is Logan Wilson. He was at the Senior Bowl a couple of years ago, and I loved that guy. He was everywhere. He was flying to the ball. The Bengals drafted him in the third round. Just an exceptional linebacker. And I think that's what the Browns need. They need a smothering middle linebacker that would just go after it and make a bunch of tackles. And Bertrand, if he's one thing, he's a tackling machine.
So let's dive into DeJuan Jones. He's 6'8", 375 pounds. He's just 22 years old. He's going to turn 23 in August before the season. He was born in Indianapolis, Indiana, had Division I offers for college for both football and basketball. So those basketball skills, man, you see those. They're clear on the NFL field with how quickly this mountain of a man can move his feet, can move around the field, shuffle. He's awesome. He's quite the athlete for his size. He played college football at the Ohio State University, my alma mater, and the Browns selected him in the fourth round of last year's draft, number 111 overall. Speaking of 1-1, DeJuan Jones played in 11 games, filling in for the injured Jack Conklin. He was thrust into that starting right tackle position immediately in week one, and he never looked back. Week seven, he had the injury. He came back from that first injury, played sparingly, if you recall, against Seattle and Pittsburgh. They kind of used him situationally, but he wasn't necessarily the starter. He didn't play every snap. He came back and he played, I think he started the Denver game, started the Rams game, and then immediately placed on IR with his own knee injury. So there we go. Now we're coming into the season with two right tackles, two very competent, high-level, you know, when they're healthy, elite-level right tackles who both now are coming off of injuries from the prior year. So I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do if you're the Browns, but the injuries just absolutely derailed everything this year, and it sucked. It sucked watching. It sucked dealing with them. And it sucks talking about how you move forward considering them now. So moving over to PFF, out of those 88 qualifying tackles, DeJuan Jones' offense grade was a 64.7. That put him at 51 out of 88. His run blocking was not great, 53.5. That was 69 out of 88. But his pass blocking was a 73. That was 26 out of 88. So that's pretty damn good for a rookie. And that's really where we saw him shine, was in passing downs, pass blocking situations. Just a mammoth out there. And I feel like run blocking is something that he can improve upon. But when you're starting out your career as a rookie, pass blocking that efficiently, that effectively, that bodes very well for your career as an NFL player. He played 712 total snaps. He allowed 21 pressures on 419 pass block snaps, 5% pressure rate. Remember, Jed Wills was 9. So DeJuan Jones, almost half of that. He gave up 3 sacks, same as Jed, 3 hits, 15 hurries. And again, I made the note here, he played 150 more snaps, gave up fewer pressures and the same amount of sacks as Jed Wills on the other side of the ball. So compared to the 6 penalties on Wills, DeJuan Jones got flagged just twice this season, which is awesome. Again, he didn't play the whole season, but you know, still that's pretty good for a rookie tackle going up against some really good pass rushers in his starts. And my favorite stat, I alluded to it a little bit ago, threw out the name. My favorite stat for DeJuan Jones, played 2 games against the Steelers. Now, the first game, he started the whole game, played the whole game. The second game was where he was used sparingly. But in those 2 games against the Steelers, and everybody's, you know, snubbed DePoy, TJ Watt, Big Thanos allowed just 5 total pressures and 0 sacks against TJ Watt and the Steelers front. So DeJuan Jones is made for the AFC North. He's made for the Browns, and we are very, very fortunate to have him. Thank you, Andrew. So on the contract side of things, not a whole lot to talk about. The Browns have a starting tackle for the future. He's on his rookie deal, 4-year, $4.6 million contract. This is year 2. Cap hit is $1.1 million. I expect some big-ass things for big-ass Thanos in year 2. So I am going to have to temper down my excitement coming off of DeJuan Jones, because next I got to talk about James Hudson III. James Hudson is 6'5", 313. He's still just 24 years old. He's going to turn 25 in May. Born in Toledo, Ohio. Started his college career at Michigan. Maybe that's why I don't like him so much. No, I think it was his play on the field. He redshirted his freshman year, transitioned from a defensive tackle to an offensive tackle. I don't know how many people knew that, but you know, coming into the NFL, offensive tackle, the offensive side of the ball was not a whole lot of his background. He'd played defense all through high school and starting out in college. So a D tackle to an O tackle. And then he left Michigan. Oh, good move. Get out of that place. Left Michigan, transferred to Cincinnati, and the Browns selected him in the 4th round of the 2021 draft, number 110 overall. So that's kind of interesting. He was selected at 110. DeJuan Jones was selected at 111. This is the thing about the draft. You know, just as a quick sidebar, it is a freaking crapshoot. So anybody out there, I see it all the time online. You can't trade away our draft picks for players because we need those draft picks. Take draft pick 110, just as a perfect example. You could get James Hudson or you could get DeJuan Jones. You don't know what you're going to get. You could get something anywhere in between. You could get somebody worse than James Hudson. I'm just saying, these are the chances you take as an NFL GM doing the draft. You do your research. You make the most educated, best analytical, you know, decision you can at each pick, and then you just sit back and you pray to God it was not a bad pick. And that's really all you can do. Stats wise for James Hudson, let's see. He played in 9 games, and you know, he filled in with Conklin, Wills, DeJuan Jones all being out, so we were down to the bottom of the barrel at tackle. So 9 games for James Hudson this year, that's way too many games with him as a starting tackle for our offense, and we felt that. So out of those 88 qualifying tackles on PFF, his offense grade was a 46.8. That was 82 out of 88. Not good at all. Run blocking was a 52.9. That's 71st. And pass blocking was a 51.1. That was 74th. Yuck. He played 556 total snaps. He allowed 29 pressures on 329 pass block snaps, a 9% pressure rate, same as Jed Wills. So come on, Jed, you got to lower that thing, man. You look like James Hudson. He gave up 4 sacks, 7 hits, 18 hurries, and he had 9 penalties. He was heavily penalized this year. Ugh. That's about all I want to say about James Hudson. So let's talk about contract, okay? 2024 is going to mercifully be his final year on his rookie deal, which was a 4-year, $4.3 million contract to begin with. His cap hit this year is a $1.25 million hit. Almost no dead cap, so I mean, to cut him would be nothing. He is, unfortunately, a very cheap depth option at offensive tackle. As I have been not shy about, he is not all that good, but honestly, he's probably in line with what you'd be betting on in the free agent market or later round rookie again to replace him. So I don't love it, but he's probably going to finish out his rookie contract in Cleveland, and then he'll move on and probably, you know, maybe get a depth job somewhere else. But I think this will, he'll be here in 24, and I think it'll be his last season here. That's about all I want to say about James Hudson. Hey, Browns fans, this is Josh, and I really appreciate you guys tuning into these Dog Bites. It's kind of like our Saturday release, just recapping everything that's been going on during the previous week. And now I just want to give you guys a little taste of what we talk about sometimes on our After Hours podcast. If you want to hear the full episode, if you want to hear all the bonus episodes every week that we do the After Hours show, it's jointhedogs.com. Become an official Dog Pack member. You get access to every single one of these episodes on the After Hours podcast. This was actually, we're, 120, 130 episodes into this podcast now. So we've been doing it for a long time. It's a ton of fun. And if you haven't checked it out yet, now's the time to do so. You get a 7-day free trial and go watch as many as you want to on that 7-day free trial. And if you like what you see, if you want to stick around in the Patreon and continue to support the show, we appreciate it. And you also get access to the private Discord. So it's just a ton of fun. Jointhedogs.com. Become an official Dog Pack member. Here's the clip.
Can we do that?
We can real quick.
It's our fucking show. We do whatever we want.
Oh, this is exciting. Okay.
Have you ever walked out of a movie theater?
Yes.
Oh, really?
During a movie?
Yes.
What movie?
I'm trying to remember. It was back in, it might have been high school. Fuck, it might have been like eighth grade or something. I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it was Pineapple Express.
Oh, what the fuck,
that's a great movie.
Yeah, I think it was was it Pineapple
Express? It wasn't Pineapple Express. Don't do Pineapple Express like that.
I'll think about it. But I know it was like a group of friends, and we were legit the only ones in the movie theater. And we, like, partway through the movie, was like, do you just want to fucking go?
Oh, man.
We left.
Pineapple Express is hilarious.
I'm trying to remember now. Go ahead.
Fucking Linger. It's one of my favorites. Oh, I've done it before. One of the ones that like stand out to me is I was like really big into those like Miley Jovovich or whatever, the Resident Evil chick.
Oh yeah.
I was really into those movies. I thought they were sweet, even though they probably suck now. But she was in this movie called Ultraviolet. And I was like, we gotta go check this shit out.
Was that her? Was that Charlize Theron?
No, that's a different movie. That was Aeon Flux.
Yeah.
Right. So we went and saw this Ultraviolet movie about choked on like the air or something there, but it was seriously like one of the worst movies I've ever seen, and we walked out like probably an hour into it. Me and Blake have almost walked out of movies. We almost walked out of Transformers. I negotiated with him like 25 minutes into it. I was like, hey, I was like, you want to get out of here, bro? This sucks. Or you want to stick this out? And he's like, let's see what happens. And like, it was 2.5 hours into it. And I was like, can we please fucking get out of here, bro? This sucks.
It was so bad. That's the closest I've ever been to walking out.
For sure.
Yeah. I've never left a movie, but I just remember looking at Justin being like,
what are we doing?
This movie fucking sucks. and it just kept going. I'm like sitting there. I'm like,
God, can somebody fucking Optimus Prime die already and we can get out of here? This sucks.
Like I've watched, I've watched super long movies before in one sitting. I watched Zack Snyder's Justice League in one sitting. I watched The Irishman in one sitting. I watched The Batman. Obviously I watched it twice in theaters in one sitting. I saw Endgame 4 times in theaters. That's 3 hours. I have no problem sitting through a long movie if it's good. This movie was long, and it just, I still couldn't, I'll never watch that movie again.
I couldn't, you know what's crazy is I think about it now, and I couldn't even tell you what the fuck it was about.
Same.
Other than Transformers were in it, and Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
Those were the takeaways.
So I did see this one in theaters, but we didn't walk out of it, but I was so excited to see this movie because I loved the original, and it was the sequel, and I thought, Okay, I'm excited to see this, and it was Independence Day Resurgence.
Oh, bro.
I started on streaming and didn't finish.
That's how I was.
I mean, yeah. It was like, it wasn't very far into the movie at the theaters. Luckily, it was one of those theaters with like the kickback seats and the lazy boy.
You just went to sleep?
And I'm just sitting there like, this movie's terrible. I mean, it's just, the plot was fucking stupid. I mean, I knew Will Smith had declined, like, so I don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, first one's such a classic, too. It's tough.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at The Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.